The Holy Gospel according to John, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, he will also glorify himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated, and I invite the children forward for a children's message. Hey, guys. Now, what was last week? You remember what last Sunday was?
Acronyms.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about acronyms. But what day was last Sunday? It was a very special day in the life of somebody in your family. It was Mother's Day. Thank you. Now, how did you show your mothers that you loved them? Okay, you did your chores without asking. I'll have to talk to your mom about that afterwards. And see if that happens. Oh, you got her gift, but it still hasn't arrived yet. Yeah, Amazon doesn't get things here fast enough, does it? It wasn't Amazon, okay. What else? How are other ways that we might show our moms, but other people, that we love them? Can you think of any other ways? Maybe we tell them? Yeah? Yeah, you might say, "Hey, I love you." That's right. Or again, we might do things special. We might buy them flowers. We might hug them. There's all sorts of things that we can do to show other people that we love them. And in fact, Jesus said today, "I'm going to give you a brand new commandment." And he said that we should all love one another. So we don't have to wait on a special day like Mother's Day or Father's Day here in June to show other people and our parents that we love them. We can do that all the time, can't we? Okay, let's bow our heads and then you can head back. Gracious Lord, we thank you for Jesus and his love for each one of us. Help us each to love as he loved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, see you guys later. That was quick. A group of boys and girls from the ages of 4 to 8 were asked a similar question that I just asked our kids today. What does love mean? And here were some of their answers. Carl, age 5, said this: "Love is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on shaving cologne and they go out and they smell each other." Emily, age 8, said, "Love is when you kiss all the time. And then when you get tired of kissing and you still want to be together, you talk more." Mommy and Daddy are a lot like that. They look gross when they kiss. Love is when you tell a guy that you like his shirt and then he wears it every day. And this is one of my favorites. Chris, age 7, says, "Love is when mommy sees daddy smelly and sweaty and still says he's handsomer than Brad Pitt." And then Jenny, age 8, said this: "There are two kinds of love. There is God's love and our love. But God makes both kinds." Again, I like that one too. God makes both kinds. A community in Florida had been hit hard by a hurricane, and the power was out, houses were flooded, roads were closed. At a Red Cross shelter at a local middle school, a distraught African-American woman tearfully asked for 6 batteries for flashlights. She said, "My kids are afraid of the dark." "Sorry," came the answer, "only 2 batteries per family. However, if you have relatives living with you, you can get 2 each for them." The woman just stood there paralyzed, feeling helpless, when Ryan Abel, who was white, piped up. "I'm a relative," he said. "So am I," said a young Chinese woman nearby. And the Red Cross woman handed her 6 batteries with a smile. When Jesus was preparing his disciples for a time that he would no longer be with them, he said to them, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. As I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." No passage in Scripture can be clearer than this one. Christians are to be known by their love. This is our primary witness in the world. As Christ has loved us, we are to love one another. I believe deep down we all know this. But if you look around, sometimes I'm pretty sure too we also forget it. There are many people in this world who simply don't know about love or how to love. That's because they have never been loved themselves. Dr. William Willimon, a famous preacher, and I think he preaches theology at Duke University, tells about a friend who spent much of his life in an orphanage. His mother took him there as a little boy. She let him out of the car under a big cedar tree and said that she would be back later that afternoon. Only she never came back. William's friend is now in middle age, and one day William was supposed to have a lunch meeting with him, but he was running late. And when he arrived, he was really only about 15 minutes late. He found his friend in an agitated state, pacing around, sweating, visibly upset. Now, it seemed like an overreaction for just being 15 minutes late. Later, his friend said to Willimon, "I just can't help it. I know why I get so bent out of shape when a friend is late. My mother kept me waiting under that tree at the orphanage all afternoon, and she never, ever returned. I just can't stand for someone I love to be late." Well, he was now all grown up, and Willimon says that he was functioning well on his own, but he still had the scars. There are some people who don't know how to love because they have never been loved themselves. Rejection is a terrible thing, isn't it? And it manifests itself in many, many ways. And many people have those scars. Be healed is when someone they know loves them. That's why we must forever proclaim God's love. God loves us even when the world rejects us. Only when we understand that are we able to love others. And we love because we first love us, as the children's song goes. And that's good news for us today. In his book, Many Things in Parables, Frederick Bolsch says that when his wife became pregnant with their first child, he discovered that he strongly wanted a son. Growing up, he had 2 sisters and no brothers, and he always wanted a little brother. But now he wanted a son.
and he got one. His wife gave birth to Benjamin, their firstborn, and his parental heart went out to Benjamin with more love than he ever thought possible. But this presented him with a dilemma. When 2 years later, his wife became pregnant again. How was he going to hide from his second child the fact that he could not love as much as he loved Benjamin, his first? Somehow his notion of love was that of a pie. The more people who came to share it, the smaller the slice would be. Then, to make matters worse, his wife delivered twins. But then something miraculous happened. Suddenly, Bosch discovered that he loved Matthew and Stuart with the same love that he loved Benjamin, his firstborn, without taking any love from Benjamin. This was a strange new arithmetic, Bosch now says. The pie seemed to have become larger. Imagine for a moment how big God's pie is. Imagine how enormous God's love is. We are loved by one with an infinite capacity to love. We love because God first loved us. God's love creates within us a capacity to love others. And love doesn't develop in a vacuum. It is vitally important that you and I pass on God's love, especially to those who have never experienced it. This is our key task as a follower of Christ. A new commandment I give you, he said. Love one another as I have loved you. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Pastor Gary Smith tells a wonderful display of that kind of love at an NBA playoff game not so long ago. We normally don't associate the NBA with God's love, but here it is. The Portland Trail Blazers were playing the Dallas Mavericks in front of 20,000 people at the Rose Garden Arena in Portland. At the beginning of the game, a local girl, 13-year-old Natalie Gilbert, walked to the middle of the court to sing the national anthem. And Natalie did fine at first. She got all the way to the twilight's last gleaming when her mind went blank. She couldn't remember the next line. She closed her eyes and she shook her head, and she was on the verge of tears in front of all those people. Suddenly, there was an arm around her. It was Maurice Cheeks, the coach of the Trailblazers. With his arm around Natalie, Cheeks began singing the next line of the national anthem. Maurice and Natalie and 20,000 other people made it all the way through to the home of the Brave. Who says you can't find love in the NBA? Here's what Christ's greatest dream is for each of us. Christ wants to build within each of us that capacity to love as he loves. Not the conditional love that says, I will love you if you prove worthy of my love, but an unconditional love, the kind of love that he has given to each of us. And we're thankful that Christ did not wait until we were worthy. And neither should we wait until others are worthy. Are we capable of such love? If not, then let us pray together that God will increase our capacity to love one another. Let us pray that God will help us feel so loved in spite of our unworthiness, that we will be able to pass on that love. Amen.